Okay, Rabosai. The beginning of Siman Pei Zayin, Hilchos Bas Berchalov, says the Mechaber, Kasu Batorah lo tvashel gdi b'chalei bimo shalosh pe'amim, echad l'sur bishol, ve'echad l'sur achil, ve'echad l'sur ana, and we already analyzed that. Two interesting tidbits here that are found in the Pesachei Tshuva, number one, and they're just before Shemaras. Number one, normally we assume benefiting from something shalokeder hanasa was only an iser drabanan at worst. However, the Gemara says there are two isurim that are also deraisa, even to benefit from in an unusual way shalokeder hanasa. And one of those is bas b'chalav, since it doesn't use the verb achila. Therefore, the verb achila implies only a normal way, an abnormal way is only drabanan or maybe mutter according to Beni Bishonim. But says the Pesachei Tshuva is a cotton aleph, af shaloka derech achila b'ana, also v'loka alav. Even if you benefit or eat from or eat bas b'chalav in an unusual way, it's still an isur d'oraisa. Only bas b'chalav and klai kerem, which don't have the root word ochel written in the Torah, unlike everything else. Another interesting chumra bas b'chalav, compared to at least some isurim, is found in the end of Sukkot and Beis. If you burn bas b'chalav, even the ashes stay mutter b'hana. That's the Gemara at the end of Tomorrow. You might be familiar with things that the Torah tells you to burn. If you burn them, you become mutter b'hana, because you did what the Torah said. Things which the Torah doesn't tell you to burn, even if you burn them, they stay aser b'hana. So there are some chumras involved in bas b'chalav compared to some other isurim, but okay, these are not things that come up in everyday life. Let's continue in the Mechaber. Why does it even say the Isra Achila with the Lashon of Lotavashel? Lomar Shino Asra Torah Derech Bishol. That the Isra Daraisa, yes, it's also eat Basar B'cholov, but only Basar B'cholov that was cooked. If you have Basar B'cholov that wasn't cooked, let's say Basar B'cholov that was combined in a different way, such as you pickled meat in milk, etc., or you soaked meat in milk, is an example the Gemara always uses. Then that's not aser daraisa. It's only aser daraisa to eat things that were cooked, but they're official. Avol midrabanan aser b'chalav. However, midrabanan, all basar b'chalav is aser. Any mixture of meat and milk is aser midrabanan. And the Ramah, parenthetically, called basar b'chalav sheino aser b'na Torah, mutter b'hana. Any basar b'chalav that's not aser midaraisa, meaning any basar b'chalav derabanan is mutter b'hana. We analyzed that already. In the Shi'ur Pticha, this is a little controversial. The second Shach and the first Taz discuss the issue of Hana'ah from Basar B'chalav D'Rabbanan. There are some, very, very minority Shitas in the Rishonim that want to claim that perhaps it should be Asur. And the Maharshal, they both go to the Maharshal. The Maharshal was sort of the co-Gadol Ador with Ramah. Middle of the 1500s in Ashkenaz. The Marshal thinks it's Aser, but even though the Marshal thinks that Basar B'chalav, that the Rabbanan is Aser Rana, we don't pass like the Marshal. The Taz rejects the Marshal, the Shach rejects the Marshal, the Ramahi rejects the Marshal, everyone rejects the Marshal. We pass in that Basar B'chalav, the Rabbanan is Mutter Behana. Here, the Rabbi Akiva Eger in two places here, mostly in Sukkot and Gimel in Rabbi Akiva Eger, points out that Bas B'chalav D'Rabbanan is also mutter in Bishul. Bas B'chalav D'Rabbanan is mutter in Hana and mutter in Bishul. We know that from Sif Gimel when it discusses chicken and milk. So why over here does the Ramah only say that Bas B'chalav D'Rabbanan is mutter in Hana and not say that it's mutter in Bishul? So here, the reason is obvious. If you just take an example, like Sif Gimel, the example of Basar B'chalav D'Rabbanan, this is not one of those. It's just like, Pashut, like Riddle, Kilu. Sif Gimel is Of B'chalav and similar things. So, it's Asar B'achila, Mutter B'hana'a, and mutter b'bishol, you're allowed to cook chicken with milk. However, Sif Aleph is talking about which type of bas b'chalav d'rabbanan. It means basar behema b'chalav shenis arvu shelo al yedei bishul. That's the type we're talking about here. So it's asur ba'achila. It's mutter ba'hanah, like everyone, against the Maharshal. But you can't really say it's mutter and bishul, because the whole point is that this is a kind of basar b'chalav that was never cooked. And if you did cook it, it would become basar b'chalav d'oraisa. Right? So, it's asur levashel, because then it becomes basar b'chalav d'oraisa. So it's like, the whole point is this is cold mixtures of meat and milk. It's not shy of talking about being mutter to cook. So if you cooked it, then it's a cooked mixture of meat and milk, and then it's no raisa. So that's why you can't really say mutter and bishul or usher and bishul, because once you cook it, it's no longer bas b'chol d'rabbanan. By chicken, you can say mutter and bishul. Okay, but the principle is clear. Bas b'chol d'rabbanan is mutter and bishul. It's just that over here, if you cooked it, it would become the raisa. Not only that, the post can point out, if it first gets mixed through soaking or pickling or something, and then you cook it, now it's also d'oraisa, right? So if it first mixes in a non-cooking way and then you cook it, now it becomes asur d'oraisa. So that's why they can't use the word mutter and bishul. Okay, what's the big controversy here that's discussed in the first Rabbi Akiva Eiger and the second Pesachei Tshuva, which really does have a lot of nafgaminas le'maisa, is what counts as derech bishul, which is d'oraisa, and what counts as and what counts as a non-derech bishul, which is d'rabbanan. So, what counts as derech bishul, what counts as non-derech bishul? Says the first shach, she'eino asur minatoral derech bishul, kolomer avalo al yidei kavash u'malicha, she'eino derech bishul. Only derech bishul is asur d'oraisa. If you pickle it or salt it, I mean, again, kavush, we'll see, it's a machlokas, whether the word kavush means pickling or means soaking. The reason it's a machlokas, pickling is just a kind of soaking. If you soak something in brine, you pickle it, so it doesn't matter. We'll call it soaking for now. If you soak or salt, what's unique about kavush and malicha? The Gemara says in Chulin, kavush is like mavushal, malicha is like roteach. Kavush and malicha are two chemical processes that are cold that have the same effect as heating things. So, let's say you salt cheese and meat together, even though the taste of the meat goes into the cheese and the taste of the cheese goes into the meat. It's not asur d'oraisa, it's only d'rabbanan because it wasn't derech bishul. Let's say you pickle milk and meat or soak milk and meat, even though the taste of the milk goes into the meat and the taste of the meat goes into the milk, it's only asur d'rabbanan. So that is very, very pashut. So if here we have kavush umaliach, meaning cold mixtures, that's only d'rabbanan. That's not derech bishul. What is controversial? Anyone who learned the first parak Sanhedrin, I don't know if any of us knew you for the first parak Sanhedrin, it's a long time ago, but there's a big machlokas there. What about tzli? What about tzli? What about roasting? What's the difference between tzli and bishul? Maybe remember from Hilchos Shabbos, etc. Bishul means cooking in a liquid, and tzli means roasting solids. Right, you cook meatballs, you put them in a pot of water and cook them, you roast, you tzli a steak, right? You put it on the grill and you roast it without putting it into liquid. Okay, so what about tzli? What if you don't cook a piece of meat in a pot of milk? Rather, you put on the barbecue a hamburger, a cheeseburger. Not like you, let's assume on the grill. You mamish put cheese and meat on the grill together. Right, you do tzli of basar b'chalav together. Or for that matter, even with milk, let's say you're roasting a steak on the grill and you smear a little milk on it. That's not cooking. Just smear a little milk on it, right? Or put a little water on it. That is roasting. So what about roasting? What about tzli? So this is not very, it's very unclear. Why? Because we know from Kol Tzar Kula, is tzli called bishul or not? It sort of depends how you look at it. In some respects, yes. In some respects, no. Right? For example, in Korban Pesach, it's a big, big mitzvah to eat it tzli, and it's a big, big avera to eat it mevushal. So tzli and mevushal are different things. But on the other hand, in Hilchos Shabbos, there are 39 avos melacha, and one of them is mevashel. Vashel, rofe, whatever, let's call it vashel for now. And that includes equally roasting and cooking. Yet on the other hand, yesh bishel achar bishel, maybe yesh bishel achar tzli and ein bishel achar bishel, without getting into all of siman shin yud ches. Lemaisa, it's very unclear when the Torah used the word bishel, does that mean only cooking in a liquid, or does that mean all types of putting things on the stove? So this is a tremendous machlokas. There are a lot of diukim in the Rishonim. Most of the Rishonim are not 1,000% clear about it. But someone wants to tell me how they think the shachol is tzli asur d'oraisa, because it's called derech bishel, because the word bishel just means using heat to prepare food, or no, it's only drabbanan. The word bishel means cooking, and roasting is not cooking. How do you think the shachol holds, Isaac? He thinks it's also d'oraisa, because the Shach says, what's not d'oraisa? Avaloa yekov shemulicha, but not cold mixtures. That implies that any hot mixture is, any hot form of mixing is d'oraisa. The Gra says the same thing right here. The first Gra says, anything with fire is bishel. Instead of a low kamer, rakla fuke kavush. And when the Ramah says, as opposed to other things, he only needs to exclude soaking, which is cold. The Gra and the Shach are very clear. They're saying it's only cold things that are not derech bishel. But any type of fire is derech bishel. However, that is not so pashut. Many people agree with them. The pre-Rabbi Akiva Eir quotes the pre-Chadash, who agrees. And the Pesach Tshuva quotes the Primogodim, who also agrees. And on the side of mine, I have someone, a small friend called the Imre Bina, who also agrees. Okay, we could go on forever, but we won't. Let's just write the Pre-Chadash. And Rabbi Akiva Eiger seems to endorse him. Rabbi Akiva Eiger, the Primogodim, as opposed to, says the Rabbi Akiva Eiger, he has a good diuk from the Ran. Okay, if we didn't follow the diuk, we know he has a diuk from the Ran. He has a diuk in the Ran, that it's much of a midoraisa, and it's before the Meiri. Okay, none of these knows the kid had the Meiri. The Meiri is a manuscript form, and the Mishnah Berurah was the first of the Mefarshei Shulchan Aruch, who celebrated the Meiri and quoted him at every possible juncture. He was so excited to have it published. But the Meiri and the Ran, already we have some Rishonim. Don't worry, it's not all the Rishonim. These are just the ones who are more Meduyak. Say that, okay, the truth is maybe I shouldn't put Ricky Vega because he quotes the Ran. But it sounds like he endorses the Pre-Chadash, fine. They are our Meduyak. That it's not d'oraisa, and likewise the Chavos Das. Who's the Chavos Das? If you look in the back of your Shulchan Aruch, like right after you finish the Shulchan Aruch, there's someone called the Chavos Das. At least in mine, it depends. We have Primogodim, not on the page. It's Primogodim. And the Chavos Das, for us Yeshiva Sheyidin, the Chavos Das is the Nesivos, right? The Nesivos wrote Perushim on much of the Shulchan Aruch. And it's called the Nesivos HaMishpat on Choshen Mishpat. On Yerodea, it's called the Chavos Das. Nesivos HaMishpat for Choshen Mishpat, Chavos Das for Yerodea. You get the scheme. So the Chavos Das also thinks only Rabbanan. The Pretor also thinks it's only Rabbanan. Who is the Pretor? The Pretor is the Perish on Shulchan Aruch Yerodea, written by the Or HaChaim from Chumash. Okay, so basically it's a big machlokas. Basically, it is a big machlokes. The Aruch HaShulchan also is Mekel. The Aruch HaShulchan is also Mekel. So this is a big machlokes. Basically, it's an unresolved. Unresolved machlokes. Very hard to paskin one way or the other. From what I've seen in the poskim is, we wouldn't be, what's an afgamina? Not whether it's a rice or drabbanan. Who cares? We're all Orthodox Jews. We refrain from Yisur d'oraisa, and we refrain from Yisur d'rabbanan. The big nafgamina is bishul and hana'ah. I don't mean bishul, can you cook it? Once you cook it, it's d'oraisa. I mean, can you roast it, right? Can I put a piece of cheese and a hamburger together on the grill? Or not? Or after it's been cooked, can I sell it to a guy or feed it to my guyish friend or not? Right? Bishul and Hanah, big nafkamina. Tremendous nafkamina. I mean, it's could come up all the time. Hanah, every day I get shaylas from, you know, kids who want to work for Uber Eats, things like that, and have all kinds of shaylas about Hanah and all kinds of other issues about machlos asura. So this is one of the things that comes up. You know, if you have a big business and you want to serve food, refreshments, etc., this is to your Goyish workers, this is one of the things that comes up. Okay, halacha lemaisa. Halacha lemaisa. It's a big machlokes. It's hard to be makel, because it's a pretty even machlokes, and it's a safek d'oraisa. We'll come back to it in a moment. Let's find out another issue. Another issue which comes up is called tigun. What is tigun? Tigun is frying. If you're familiar with, even from Hilchas Shabbos, other areas of halacha, we'll see in Hilchas Hechsher Kalim, frying is a little in between roasting and cooking. What does frying mean? Frying means you don't put it without anything on the grill. You don't put it in a pot of water like cooking. Rather, you put it in a frying pan with a little oil. So it's a little like cooking, so there's a little oil in the frying pan, but it's a little like roasting because it's not really submerged in a liquid. So what is the status of frying of tigun? So here, I think some of these poskim, we can make the exact same deal. The shach and the gra are very clear. Anything with fire is d'oraisa. The Brichadish holds the same thing. You'll find in general the Brichadish and the Gra agree 98% of the time. Because their rule is anything with fire is d'oraisa. It just meant as opposed to coldness. Interestingly, some poskim are mechalek between between frying and roasting. For example, the Iri says roasting is only d'rabbanan, but frying is d'oraisa. Frying meaning you put some butter in a pan and then you fry up a steak. That's d'oraisa since it has a little liquid. Therefore, it is more similar to cooking. The Prima Gudim says exactly the opposite, which I don't fully understand. The Prima Gudim says it's only Midra Rabbanan. At least that's what he leans towards saying. That's quoted in the Peskei Tshuva here. The Ayin Pri Chodesh, the Tigun is the Raisa, but the Minchas Yaakov and the Maharam Shif thought that it was not, and the Prima Gudim is Mekel, at least from Malcolm Hefsid Meruba. Right. Is Mekel b'makom hefsed ruba? He thinks it's very strange that tigun is more kal than sli. To me, it's a pshita. Who else said it's only rabbanan? We just saw the Pesach Tshuva quote of the Maharam Shif and the Minchas Yaakov. By the way, there's lots of names here. It's like just like listing random names. What I've decided I'm going to do is maybe like every shir. Well, like learn who one name is, but I'm not going to explain all the names now because that would just be an overload that would not be helpful for us. The Chavos Das is Mekel and Tigun just like he is in Sli. So Lamaik said Tigun is also a big machlokes, even Malcolm Hepsim Ruba. The Prima Gadim is Mekel, but the Shach Likra wouldn't be Mekel. The Orch HaShulchan is also Mekel. Fine, there are those who are Mekel in both, those who are Machmer in both, and those who split the difference. Lemaisa, both of these are very controversial. It's very, very hard to be Mekel. What one could say, however, is, and this is a little glimpse into the world of Psak. How does Psak Halacha really work? We might think if we haven't learned poskim, the way Psak Halacha works is, you know, and there are some people who work this way. Is that every time you have machlokas, you pass in the machlokas, and you see which way you pass it. And then you go with that. L'maisa, that's not the way most poskim treat Psak Halacha. The way most people poskim treat Psak Halacha is they add up different stud in l'hakel. Say, look, this is the machlokas. hard to paskin, too difficult to paskin, there's too many gedolim on both sides, we'll have to be machmer. This is machlokas, too many gedolim on both sides, we'll have to be machmer. But if you have two tzedakim l'hakel, yeah, then maybe there's more room to be makel. Like, for example, if you ask me, in my humble opinion, I would say, let's say one of these shilas really came up. Let's say one of these shilas really came up. Let's say the hana, that makes it simpler, right? You have meat and cheese that was grilled together, right? There was mamish grilled together. They put cheese and a hamburger on the grill together, and now it is asur b'hana, according to half the Rishonim and Achronim. What do you do? So, and now all of a sudden, like, you're stuck with it. You throw it in the garbage and lose a lot of money. Maybe you have like 100 of them and you're supposed to serve them at an event or something to the goyim. Is there room to be makel? La'anigas daiti, I would say there's room to be makel if you have two tzedakim l'hakel. What does that mean? If it's McDonald's, again, I don't know what McDonald's do. Let's assume they put the cheese on the burger on the fire. For the sake of argument, I have no idea, I'm not a fucking McDonald's. But if it's nevela meat, and it's three, then already. So the Mahakal. Number one, according to the Brahma, the Queen of Law, there's no Isser Basa B'chala on Nevela meat. And even if there is an Isser Basa B'chala on Nevela meat, maybe it's not the Araisa, because it's Sli and it's not Bishol. With those two Tzad Mahakal, I make Yel B'shasa Tach, if you ask me to Paskin. And that's how, if you look at most, like, real, like, Poskim, Shailas Tshuvos, Manadik Poskim, etc., in a lot of cases where you can't clearly be Machriya Machlokes, and you can't say I'm comfortable being makel this machlokas, but if you put two machlokas together, then there's often room to be makel, either l'chachil or b'shas hachak. In this case, if someone asked me l'maisa, I would say, would I rely on the nekuda nefla alone? No, I'd be very reluctant to. Would I rely on sli, that it's drabanan and mutrana alone? No, I'd be very reluctant to. However, if you told me you had nevela that was only sli with chalav, and now you're stuck, you have 200 of them, and you're supposed to serve them to the goyim, and if you throw them in the garbage, then you lose money, etc. And I think it could be make a little bit safer if these two tzedakim lehakel. Okay, kach nira lani is 90. Vinny, you had a question.
Are we assuming the other achronim who say that tigun is dirabanan agree it's the makam hefsid, or is prima gadam?
No, they pass in that way, stam. But the prima gadam in general, the derech of the prima gadam is very, very, since he writes so much on the Shulchan Aruch, and he was so great, he has a lot of influence in halacha, but there are some funny things about the prima gadam. One funny thing about the prima gadam is that whenever he's makel, he always says, if there's a hefsid merubah or something like that. He never likes to be makel, stop. The more funny thing about the prima gadam is that he was like Rav Soloveitchik. He wrote a very long book, and he was not machmir to be consistent. So he can pask in one way, in one semen, another way, in another semen, and that's not a kasha, that's just his derech. Today he felt this way, the next day he felt that way. So it's very important, if you have a stira in prima gadin, he paskins before he sosur himself from this semen to that semen, that's a feature, not a bug. Meaning that's his derech. That's his derech halimut. Yes?
Sweet. Isn't all
chalav apparently
liquid? So isn't that...
Yeah, but if you put gavina and basar on the grill, that's sleep. No, I think, you know, if you smeared a little milk on a burger, that would also be tzli. That would also be tzli, yeah. It would be tzli because it's not like sitting in it. Sorry. Okay, now, the Achronim here go to town with all kinds of other examples. What about not different modes of cooking? What about lower levels of cooking? What about off the fire? Is off the fire considered derech bishul that's d'oraisa? Or is off the fire considered not derech bishul and it's only drabanan? So here we have a focus. How about a kli rishon? Shalo al gabi ha'ish. What if you take a pot of milk off the stove when it's boiling and then cook meat in it? Is that d'oraisa or is that d'rabbanan? Again, I'm not guaranteeing you it happens all the time. Prichadosh is obviously machmer on this because the prichadosh says, Iwritzon in the Tocham is the Araisa. What does that mean? If you pour cold into hot, that's called Kli Rishon. You know, Shalagavi, you're pouring cold into hot, right? You have a hot pot off the fire and you're pouring cold into it. So the Prichadash is Machmir. It is Machmir on this. It's actually Mefurish. The Meiri is also Machmer in this, and Daf Kofches. In the Yerushalmi is Mefurish that they're making on this. This is also very controversial. It is Aser de Araisa, according to the Meiri. Again, you can look up these Meiris. This is in Daf Kofches. If you want to look it up, or you can take my word for it. And the Prichadosh, who's quoted by Rebbe Kiva Eger, seemingly endorsed. It's only Drabana, according to the Yerushalmi. In other places, the Aruch HaShulchan Paskins like the Yerushalmi, even though here I don't think he discussed it explicitly, but Hilchos Shabbos he does. Lemaisa, we would be machmer on this because the Prichadosh is machmer, the Meiri is machmer, and the Yerushalmi only goes so far because who says the Bavli agrees with the Yerushalmi? Right, even though the Yerushalmi is Chazal, it has less weight than Rishonim and Achronim because who says the Bavli agrees with the Yerushalmi? So Lemaisa, we'd be machmer. How about the following case?
Can you clarify what Kli Eish Kli Rishon Shalo Algabe Eish means? What does that mean?
It means a boiling pot that you took off the fire.
Okay.
Kli Rishon, not a Klisheni. Klisheni is for sure not the Bishul the Rice, right? Klisheni and Mavashal. It means it's still in the boiling pot, but you took it off the fire. So is that called Derech Bishul or not? So that's my focus. The mice would be Machmer. But then the Rabbi Kibbe goes on to quote the Prichada, the Marashal, who says, Basar Cham Shenaga Begvina Chama is only Drabanan. Hot meat that touched hot cheese. L'chor what he means, it's clear what the post can mean by this, is off the fire. Right? So how about Basar Cham Shenaga Begvina Chama? Right? So here, not only is it off the fire, but there's no liquid. Right? It's just two hot things off the fire touching each other. You take meat off the fire, you take cheese off the fire, and you put them together. Again, I'm not sure that anyone ever does that. But theoretically, the Prichadosh, Eger quotes the Marashal, that it is totally mutter, the Primagadim, in the basically Tshuva, I think, also quotes this. Yes, Chaim B'Chaim, if it's a Chuvah, it's called a Primigadim, Shem Marshal, we'll have it your official, Umotir Ba'anah. Everyone, almost everyone, is Mekel on this, except for the Imre Bina on the side. The Imre Bina, in my edition, it's on the side. It could be in different places in your editions, but I'll tell you what he says. Amal Tzli V'Chaim L'Tocham. Otson in the Tocham, Navi Derech Bishul, Aser Minat Torah. So the Imre Bina is very matter. Basar Cham Shenaga Begvina Chama, or since we have a rule we haven't seen yet called Tata Gavra, the rule is if you put two things together, the bottom one counts. So if you put a cold thing on a hot thing, it counts as hot, right? Or Sonen Al Gabe Cham. Again, this is off the fire. Shalom Al Gabe Ha'esh. Right, then only the Imre Bina says, only the Imre Bina on the side here says that it's the Raisa. Everyone else on the page says that that's only Dirabanan. That's the Maharshal, the Prichadosh in Rabbi Yekiva Eger, the Primagadim, etc. Over here, that's easy. We're not going to be machmer on that. That's not a real lopsided machlokes. We're clearly in a paskin that's only drabanan. Why is that significant? Because give me a second. Because that's actually how they make cheeseburgers in a lot of places. They take a broiling hot hamburger off the grill, they put it on the bun, and then they put a slice of cheese on it. They put cheese on the hamburger off the fire. They don't usually put the cheese on the fire. Then it'll melt too much. Again, I'm not a Bucky and cheeseburgers, but I think that Stam cheeseburgers, they take broiling hot meat off the fire, then put a piece of cheese on it. So the cheese melts a little, but doesn't totally melt away. That is less than Cham that touched Cham. That's Tzonen on top of Cham, which the Imre Bina still thinks is Doraisa. But we pass the Mizra Banan, and therefore Halacha L'maisa, if you have such a cheeseburger, you're allowed to get Hanah from it, which could really, really come up in a lot of real life halachah l'maaseh shaylos. Someone wants to ask a question?
Yeah, Shalom Rabbi. If would there even be a hole that if you put a hot burger on cold cheese, then it's
not also deraisa?
If you put a hot burger in cold cheese, then I think even the Imri Bina would admit that it's not deraisa. Because we haven't seen this rule yet, but there's a funny rule. We'll have to figure out how to understand the rule called Tom Gavar, that the bottom one is more important. So if the hot burger's on the cold cheese, then we view it as more cold. And then for sure, it's Rabbanan. Again, for sure, all the shitas that I'm familiar with. Let's just mention a few other shitas, and then we will move on. Sorry, we need to go over here. What about cliché? After all, cliché mi'enu mevashel. We know Filcha Shabbos, some people are machmir in some cases, cliché mi. We'll see in the Shulchan Aruch, some people are a little machmir in some cases, cliché mi. But says the Gilyan Maharsha here, in a Sikkot and Gimel, if you have Sikkot, if not, it's just the third paragraph. V'chein cliché mi ayindriya is drabanan. And Kam L'Tochtzone. Okay, we'll get that. Cliché mi is only drabanan. That's in the Gilyan Maharsha, and everyone seems to agree. If the meat and milk only mix in cliché mi, that's only an iser drabanan. So you can't eat it, but it's not a problem to mix it in the cliché mi. It's not a problem to cook it in the cliché mi. It's a problem to then put it back in the klibisho. It's not a problem to cook it in cliché mi, and it's not a problem to be nanef from it. The other big machlokas here is iroi. What about iroi? Iroi is also called cham in tzoni. Right? We know from Hilchos Shabbos, again, I'm assuming we know more Hilchos Shabbos, because we learned that in high school, etc. In Hilchos Shabbos, that is very controversial. Pouring hot onto cold. Pouring from a klibishon onto cold iroi. Mi klibishon. Obviously on top of cold. Iroi, how about iroi klibishon? So here, the post can point out that there are two types of iroi. This will come up a lot in Hilchas Taruvos. There's iroi shenifza kakiluach, iroi with a broken stream, and iroi with an unbroken stream. Right? Iroi with a broken stream means, here's my kli rishon, and I'm pouring drip, drip, drip. Iroi with an unbroken stream means it's just going like this. Right? What the words say. Obviously, the iroi with an unbroken stream is hotter than the iroi with a broken stream. That should be pretty posh to us. So, what do we say in this case? So we say, the Gilyan Maharsha says here, and the Prima Gadim also says it, in the Psichat of Hizbos V'Cholav, which we didn't read together, but in my Shulchan Aruch, it comes right before Hizbos V'Cholav. If the Prima Gadim is in the back, it's just the first thing in the back. The Gilyan Maharsha quotes, he says, one second. The chamlet, okay, his lashon is not so clear. He says, iroi from a kli rishon is a suffix d'oraisa. But chamlet tzone is only drabanan. And what does that mean? You might have to look in the Prima Gadim, which he's based on. You'll see he means shenifzak hakiluach. Iroi. Shenifzak hakiluach. That's only me drabanan. Okay, that's what the Gilyan Maharsha means when he says, iroi is a problem, but if it's hot onto cold, it's not. Meaning, this is iroi is a problem. Hot onto cold, without a stream, is not a problem. Meaning, you can't eat it, but it's not deraisa. And the Prima Gadim also says that, not on this page, but in his introduction. However, what about iroi mikli rishon shalom nifsak hakiluach? An unbroken stream from a kli rishon. Basically, you take boiling hot milk and you pour it. You know, and you pour it onto hot dogs, right? Iroi meat, again, we wouldn't normally do this, but you never know when it can come up. Iroi from a kli rishon with an unbroken stream, shalom nifsak hakiluach. Here, if you look at all the different people on the page, and there's a small print on the side called the Yad Avram. He says, that's only drabanan. However, the Pri Chadash quoted in Rabbi Kiva Eger says, iroi tzon l'tocham havi d'oraisa. The Pri Chodesh thinks it is d'oraisa. Likewise, in the Shut Tashbe, it's one of the latest Rishonim from North Africa, he also says Mefurish, if you look it up there, in Chelek Gimel Siman Reish Sadi Hey, he also says it's d'oraisa. And the Gilyan Maharsha, again, based on the Prima Gadim, all this is based on the Prima Gadim, says that it's a suffix. So, here, we're not so sure, says the Yad Avraham. He says it's d'oraisa. Sorry, he says Durabanan, I meant. Says the Pri Chadash in Rabbi Kiva Eger, it's no Raisa. Pri Chadash in Rabbi Kiva Eger, says it's d'oraisa, says the Gilgan Maharsha and the Prima Gadim. It's suffik. So we treat it as a suffik because we're not sure. And a lot of things in Hebrew we end up treating it as a suffik in many areas of Shulchan Aruch. So if you want to know in these cases, when is it bas b'chol d'oraisa, when is it d'rabbanan, with tremendous nafkaminas, mostly the Isra Hana'ah, then here you have a little summary of what's d'oraisa and what is d'rabbanan. I'll mention one other thing as long as we're on the topic. There is one other issue, meaning not how hot it is or how wet it is, how liquidy it is, but another issue that comes up in the Achronim is, what about Blios? What about Blios and Kalim? Are Blios and Kalim Basa B'chalot D'Oraisa? Because that's called Derech Bishol? Or no, it's only called Derech Bishol. What's Blios B'chalot G'tiba Chalei Bimo? To be D'Oraisa, it has to be like Bishol G'tiba Chalei Bimo. According to some people, it has to be in a liquid, some not. It has to be hot, not cold. Question of what if it's a little hot, a little cold. In between, it's controversial. Does it have to be the end? Does it have to be a piece? G'tiba Chalei Bimo is an actual piece of meat and an actual piece of milk. Or what if you cook meat in a milky pot? Is that the orais or drabanan? On the one hand, normally we assume if you cook in a treif pot, that's also d'oraisa. The Torah tells you to kasher your pots. Right, if I cook in a treif pot from chazer, it's d'oraisa. What if I cook meat in a milky pot? Is that d'oraisa or no? It's not d'oraisa. It's not derech bishul k'diba chalei mo. It's only drabanan. What if I cook milk in a fleshik pot? Or what if I have a basar b'cholavdik pot and I cook vegetable soup in it? Is that d'oraisa or d'rabbanan? On the one hand, I'm cooking the absorbed taste of meat with the absorbed taste of milk. On the other hand, I'm not really cooking a piece of meat and milk. So this is very controversial. This is discussed by the Prima Gadim here. If you want to flip a little later, if you want to flip, if not, then I'll just read it to you. The Sifsei Das, right, the Prima Gadim has two different papers here. I assume most of you have the Prima Gadim on the page. I don't know what kind of Shulchan Aruch you all have. If you have Tzuras Hadaf, then the Prima Gadim is still on the facing page, I think. Right? If you have Bahir, it's on the page. If you have whatever mine is called, Mifal Torah Shulchan Aruch HaSholem Shiras Devor, whatever, it's on the page. If you have the Tzuras Hadaf one, then I think it's like on the facing page. So he has the Prima. What is the Prima Gadim? The Prima Gadim, besides his Hakdam or Psicha, he has a lot of Psichas. He always writes an introduction. Here he has an introduction to Basar B'chalav. But he's mainly a super commentary. What's a super commentary? Right, a commentary. And a commentary, the Prima Gadim, what he did was he wrote a Perush on the main Perushim on the Shulchan Aruch. So, for example, in Or HaChaim, where there's the Magen Avraham on one side and Taz on the other side, he wrote on the Magen Avraham, he wrote on the Taz. In Yordaya, when there's a Shach on one side and the Taz on the other side, he wrote on the Shach, he wrote on the Taz. The Shach is called the Sifsei Kohen, so his super commentary on the Sifsei Kohen is Sifsei Das. The Taz is called the Tori Zahav, his super commentary on Tori Zahav is called the Mishpatil Zahav. You get the idea. So, in the 18th Sifsei Das in our Siman, Sifsei Das Sifkot and Yud Ches, says the Shach, Ayin Shach, that says the Sifsei Das, I mean Yud Ches, Ayin Shach, they know the Tarbas that will get that, they know the Kumar Yama, Ayin Kreis, you place your Sukimel, Uladina, Basar B'chalav Yish Bishol, Ach B'chalav and Kol Mokom, Habalua Shem Sochak Deirim, Basar B'chalav Yachat, She Yiftel, Bato, Mechut V'Yisbashel, Lo Chashu, Zelo Habaderech Bishol, says the Prima Gadim. Let's just add this new kind of discussion as to what's there official, what's not. What about Lias Bas, sorry, Lias Bas Rechalov in a Kli. The Kli Umivashel Bo Yerukos. Yerukos is how the old-fashioned Achronim said Parav. They didn't have the word Parav, they called Parav Yerukos. Right? It's a good lesson for all of us. If you want to eat something parif instead of candy or potato chips, we should eat yurukos. What if you're cooking parif, but the pot has blios of meat and milk? Says the Prima Gadim, that is not a problem. That's not derech bishul. That's not their official. That is not. That's not called their official. And therefore, there's no problem to take a pot with blios of meat and milk and cook vegetable soup in it. For example, if a guy says, can you take my pot and fill it with vegetables and put it on the stove and cook me soup? And you say to the guy, or do you, don't bother. What if the guy cooked meat in the pot for breakfast and milk in the pot for lunch? Now it's full of blios bas mechalav. What if he actually cooked bas mechalav in the pot? Right, the guy has a pan. He cooked lasagna in the pan. If you're a guy, lasagna means meat and milk. Not like us, weirdos. As a matter of fact, if you're a guy, a lot of things mean things that they don't mean to us. When you get out into the world, you realize that you don't know what words mean. Like, for example, pizza without meat is a specialty item. Meatless pizza. Because pizza obviously means with meat. So lasagna, pasha means with meat, goes without saying. The guy cooked lasagna in the pot. It's now total basar b'chalav. And now he says, okay, can you cook me, you know, he cooked lasagna in the pot, total basar b'chalav. He finished the lasagna. Now he put some fish in the pot, in the pan. Says, can you put it in the oven? Can I put this fish in the oven? The blios of basar b'chalav are going to get cooked again and go into the fish. Maybe there is bishul. Says the Bringa Gadim, no problem. It's not derech bishul. That's not considered derech bishul basar b'chalav. To have blios of basar b'chalav coming out of your pot. What is more controversial is, and this is the last thing we'll mention here, is what about this? What about Bishol Basar Bikli Chalavi or Bishol Chalav Bikli Bisari? What if you're mixing actual meat with Blios absorbed taste of milk? Or actual milk with absorbed taste of meat? What if you cook, and this can happen all the time, right? With Goyim, I mean, usually with Jews, you wouldn't do it anyway, because the mice, you can't eat it in the end, so what's the point, right? But this could certainly happen all the time. This is a little what's discussed by the Ramban Sitbav, which is why the Prima Gadol was there. What if you cook meat in a fleshik pot? Is that derech bishul gediba chalebimo, or is that only bas b'chol drabonim? Flesh in a milking pot. Milk in a fleshik pot. Meat in a milking pot. You get what I'm saying. So here says the Prima Gadol right there. He says, nope, that is Doraisa. That is Doraisa. Therefore, you can't cook it, and eating is an Issa Doraisa, and if it's already cooked, you can't benefit from it. He says an Issa Doraisa. However, and in the Pisgei Tshuva of Gadol Dalet, he quotes the same thing from the Shari Ephraim. Pisgei Tshuva near the beginning again. In Sifkat Dalet, he says, Shari Ephraim, that butter that was cooked in a fleshik pot is also bound up. You can't use it for fuel. Okay, so he agrees with the Prima Gadol. However, not everyone agrees. In on the side of the page or in the back, you know, it's in some edition they put things that used to be in the back on the side, things that were in the back when I was on the side, things that were on the side when I was in the back. But there's someone called the Yad Ephraim. And I think at the end of Siman Pei Zion, he has 23 paragraphs. Kids are hopeless, possible, follow from the Yad Ephraim. One of these paragraphs is, in Gimel, he says, in Bishal Basar, there's called Bas Yoma, Olehibach, Abisha Asar, Eino Loka. There's no Malchus. There's no Malchus. I think what he means, Darabonim. The Aruch HaShulchan also sounds that way. So, the Yad Ephraim and the Aruch HaShulchan say that this is only Darabonim, again, being Nafkaminas. Even the Prima Gadol in his Psicha says, well, according to some sheet, this may work out that Darabonim, although he doesn't actually lean to pass in that way. Halacha l'maisa, this is a question that actually could come up a lot. Meaning, let's say by accident, someone cooked meat in a milking pot, or milk in a fleshy pot. Again, there's a rule called ben yom. If it hadn't been used in 24 hours, it's mutter b'yamim. Let's say it was used in the last 24 hours. These things could happen by accident or by goyim, etc. And you already have it. You boil up a pot of milk and you realize, oy vavoy, 3 hours ago I cooked meat in this pot. Not chicken in this pot. Beef in this pot. So, is this milk asur b'ano or not? So, this is a big machlokes. Halacha l'maaseh, it's hard to be makel. Because it's a pretty even machlokes achronim. And halacha l'maaseh, it'd be machmer unless there were other tzadim, l'akyal, there was a big tzorif, etc. But min hastam, I'd be machmer, meaning if all of a sudden, oy vavoy, someone did something terrible, they cooked beef in a pot and 5 hours later boiled up milk in that pot. They did an Issur d'Oraisa b'choshes. They might have done an Issur d'Oraisa bishul. Obviously, you can't eat it no matter what. And I would throw it in the garbage and not even feed it to my cat because I'm b'choshes that it's also around dogs. It's supposed to be called d'Oraisa. Isaac. I don't have a good answer to that. You know, sometimes the answer is just that's Sisvara. The answer is that's Sisvara. What do I mean by that? He just thinks that it's called Derech Bishul Diva Chalevi Mo is, you know, maybe I'll say a little better. Gedi Bachalevi Mo, here I'm making this up. He doesn't say this. Gedi Bachalevi Mo. Sounds like you need a Gedi, like in the Chalav. So it sounds like you need like a real Gedi, but it can be with an influence of Chalav. And then likewise, it can be real Chalav with an influence of Gedi. But you need at least a Gedi. You need at least, and he assumes, he extrapolates, Gedi with Chalav means like with a taste of Chalav. And likewise, Chalav with a taste of Gedi, but you need at least one thing. We call it their official Diva Chalevi Mo. Again, it just, that's what it seemed to him. Okay, any other questions about this? Binyamin?
You mentioned before that the Ramchal takes something.
Yes.
So, sorry.
Another Ramchal.
Yes, sorry.
Okay, fine.
Do you ever use like that as a
Salah Akhir? No, we pass it against that. It's a Das Yachid. Yeah, it's a Das Yachid, that Ramchal. Meaning that Mari Weil says like him. And the Nagin Mishnah says there were some people, and he doesn't say who held that way. But it's, and the Bach thinks maybe the Rambam held that way, but no one agrees with him. But Lamai said that's still called a minority Shita, and we don't really, we're not pushing for that at all. Okay, any questions from the Zoomers? Okay. Let's continue then. Agav, before we go on to the next Se'if, I promise I'd introduce you to someone. To a new, I don't want to say a new friend, it's not respectful, but perhaps a new mentor, every shiur. What is the last word in Sif Aleph? Tor, this is from the Tor, Taka it is. V'aruch k'al lamed. What's an aruch? So this aruch is a very, very important book. In Yoredeia, it is going to be a mainstay, a pillar of Yoredeia. The aruch is also called Isser v'heter. Three words mean the same thing. Isser v'heter, aruch, and you'll never guess, Isser v'heter ha'aruch. What is that book? You see here, I don't know if you can really see anything, it says Isser v'heter ha'aruch. What was the Isser v'heter ha'aruch? In the old days, I mean like the 200 years before the Ramah, let's say, every gadol worth his salt wrote a book called Isser v'heter. Just everyone wrote their Isser v'heter. You know, it's like in the Israeli Tosos, everyone wrote their Tosos. Everyone wrote their Isser v'heter. So everyone wrote an Isser v'heter. There's a dozen Isser v'heters floating around. Like, for example, if you ever see the Yonosei Kelim quote, HaMaharshal be'alef vav shin, and all the yeshivish people saying, well, the Maharshal wrote the Ur Sameach, alef vav shin stands for, you'll never believe this, Isser v'heter shalom. The Maharshal and his Isser v'heter, because everyone wrote their own Isser v'heter. So again, if the Maharshal ever wrote in the alef vav shin, it stands for Isser v'heter shalom. Anyway, so this is called Isser v'heter ha'aruch. I don't know if it was the longest Isser v'heter in the world, but I guess it was long compared to most of the other books called Isser v'heter ha'aruch. And this was considered a mainstay of Ashkenazi, a basic book of Ashkenazi Pesach, a generation and a half, two generations, let's call it, before the Ramah. Right, the Ramah lived in the middle of the 1500s. This would be around 1500. Or maybe the early 1500s. So in the days of the Ramah, this was the most basic, this is like the art scroll, right? Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, the most basic halacha book in the days of the Ramah was the Isser v'heter, and therefore the Ramah, he doesn't always agree with the Isser v'heter. First of all, the Ramah himself wrote Hagos to the Esra Heter. If you see here, it says, someplace here, maybe it doesn't say here. Okay, I don't know where it says, but it's still true that if you look in this book, Esra Heter, you see here, there's like a little Hagos in the middle. That's the Ramah. The Ramah wrote Hagos to the Esra Heter. So you see, it's a Chasha book, but the Ramah wrote Hagos to it. And the Ramah in the Darkei Moshe, he's always working off the Esra Heter. He might agree, he might disagree, but it's his starting point. And therefore, lots and lots of Ramahs are going to be from the Esra Heter / Orach / Esra Heter Ha'orach. It's going to be a very, very crucial sefer in the history of Ashkenazic Halacha. Who wrote the Esra Heter Ha'orach? It says right here, Chibro Sagona Chosmarin Rabbeinu Rabbi Yonah Gerundi. That's not true. That's a lie. That's because this is like the old version. You know, if the new version is correct, that Rabbi Yonah Gerundi is like the Rabbi Yonah from the Shari Tshuva, or the, you know, Rabbi Yonah Chas, etc. He was a Rishon who lived in 1300 in Spain. That has nothing to do with this. It's just his name was Yonah. There's a famous Yonah Gerundi. So the first printer decided he was Yonah Gerundi. But he was Rabbi Yonah Ashkenazi. Was his Gerundi, just means from Gerona. It's a city. He was, his name was Rabbi Yonah Ashkenazi. And he was a Talmud of the Trumas Edeshin. He is Rabbi Yonah Ashkenazi, Talmud of the Trumas Edeshin, lived, you know, around, meaning end of the 1400s, beginning of the 1500s, a generation and a half, or a generation, or two generations, I don't know what counts as a generation, before the Ramah. But he was born about 50 years before the Ramah, whatever you want to call that. And it's a very basic sefer. It's on the shelf in Beis Medrash, more than one copy. There's a newer one also. This is just the old one that I happen to find. I don't know where the new one is right now. So it's good to know about. And once in a while, you're going to want to look something up there if something's like mysterious and intriguing, and you want to see it in the source. Generally, the Ramah quotes him just fine. But you know, every once in a while, you'll be intrigued. You want to look something up inside. Okay, so that's the person we'll meet today. Let's go to Sif Beis. Here, there's a whole Gemara about this. Whole Gemara, how do we know this? But it doesn't matter how we know this. It's never pashut for us. Gedi la davka, the good and sure seven A's. It's not only a Gedi, which is a kid goat. It is any behema tahora, any kosher domesticated animal, such as an ox or a sheep or an adult goat, meaning any one of the three species that are behemos tahoros, kosher domesticated animals. There are only three species, right? Zos habimasher tochemu, shor, seich, sabim, besei, izim. And then it goes on to the chayos. So, v'loshna b'chalev aim, v'loshna b'chalev acheres, el shirev el behora, and it makes no difference if it's mother's milk or someone else's milk. Meaning milk of any other sheep, goat, or cow. The Gemara, the pasuk was just talking about the normal thing in ancient times. They would cook a kid in its mother's milk, but it doesn't matter which milk. Okay, you want to know how we know that and why we don't just do exactly what it says literally in the pasuk? So you look in the Gemara. They have drushes. Gimel. Ain't no knowing element the sire behemoth horrible vad bechalev or we now say bechalov behemoth horah. That when does it apply? Only to, it applies to all domesticated kosher animals, but only, here there's two restrictions, only to tahora, to kosher species, meaning it doesn't apply to horses and donkeys and pigs, and only to behema, to domesticated animals, which leaves us only three species again, cows, sheep, and goats. Aval basar tahora b'chalav tamea, but if you cook beef in pig milk, o basar tamea b'chalav tahora, or pig in cow milk, that's not also called the rice. Mutar mebishul anah is mutar to cook and is mutar anah. That's a mefurish mishnah. Let's stop here before we get to the second half. That is a mefurish mishnah. How do we know this? Isaac, when you get a chance, please. Because the Gemara darshin from the psukim, you want to know exactly the drash, you'll look there in the Gemara. So it doesn't apply again. That's why I told you, if you want to be frum and shop for pet food, you should look in the ingredients. If it says beef with milk, I mean, they all have milk, don't buy it. Or if they don't have milk, they have some other word that means a milk product. If it says beef, don't buy it. If it says pork, then you're fine. Because totally mutar anah to have pork cooked with milk, even the pork cooked with cow milk. This is a mefurish mishnah. Mefurish mishnah says you can't eat it, but it's mutter and bishul and hana. Well, obviously, obviously you can't eat it. You can't eat it because forget about mechalim. It's pork. It's treif. The machlokas is this. Let me erase the board. By the way, if I erase the board and anyone still wants to see it someday, it goes up on YU Torah. Or you could always ask me for a link to the Zoom recording. And for 30 days, the Zoom recording is there, and you could just watch the video and click pause when you hit the board. But it goes on YU Torah. That's probably more convenient. Thanks to our expert photographer, Isaac Selter, the apprentice of Chaim Meyersdorf. yes, okay. So, the what about basar or chalav tamea? By the way, here's an important jargon, important code word we need to know. Often, the poskim talk about, and this goes back to Rishonim, Achronim, tahor and tamea. Tahor and tummy. What do poskim mean in Isra Behetra and Yordea by tahor and tummy? They don't mean, like Seder Taros Mishnayis, ritual purity, right? That's not what they're talking about. When we say no rabbin, that's not in the Shulchan Aruch. It doesn't apply to Bismanazeh. We have to wait for Mashiach to come here with Yamin. Rather, when they say Tahora and Tameya, what they mean is the Isser of trace species. Like they say Tameya, it has nothing to do with Tumba Vitara. When Poskim say Tameya, they mean a trace species, like a horse or a donkey or a pig, or use your imagination. That's what they mean by Tameya. And Tahora means a kosher species. So that's important to know. You know, if we see a posik at some point, or a Faresh at Achron, and he writes, well, Tameya or Nevela, what does he mean by that? Nevela means unshefted cows, and Tameya means pigs. Okay, so, what about Basar of Tameya or Cholov of Tameya? Right, even Basar of Tameya with cow milk, or Cholov of Tameya with beef. So, one thing is very clear. Asar ba'achila. What is Asar ba'achila? Asar ba'achila. Mida Araisa, Mishom Tame. Right? It's also about the Araisa because it's pig. Right? Not doing Basar B'chala. Mutter B'dishal, Mutter B'hanam. That's a Mishnah. What's the Machlokas? The Machlokas is, remember all the rest of the simon until now and after now, when we say something's Asar to eat, but Mutter to cook and Mutter to be nana from, we mean it's Basar B'chala Drabanan. Is this Basar B'chala Drabanan? Or not. So this is a famous machlokes. Says the Torah, it's basar b'chalav midrabanan. Says the Torah that it's basar b'chalav midrabanan. However, the Beis Yosef objects. Says the Beis Yosef, no, it's not basar b'chalav midrabanan. Why? Chicken and milk is basar b'chalav midrabanan. Milk and meat that were combined through pickling or through klisheni, etc., that's basar b'chalav midrabanan. Pork and milk, that's not basar b'chalav midrabanan. It's asr anyway. Why would there be an isr basar b'chalav midrabanan? Why make an isr basar b'chalav midrabanan? It's not going to asr in bishul, because it's only midrabanan. It's not going to asr in not, it's only midrabanan. It's going to asr in achila. Why would there be an Isra Achila Midrabanan Basar B'chalav if it's also eating Midoraisa anyway? Because it's pig. So he says, it's not Basar B'chalav at all. Why? Because it's Asr already. So why would there be an Isra Rabbanan Ba'achila? If it would only make it Asr Ba'achila, then it's Asr Ba'achila anyway. So what's, why have a meaningless Isra? Okay, that's what the Beis Yosef says. Comes the Bach and says, what do you mean? It's not redundant to make an Isser Rabban and Basar B'chalav. There's many nafkaminas in making an Isser. He's lundish. Says the Bach. I'm going to cheat a little. Beis Yosef, Shach and Taz. Right? Says the Bach. He says that. He says, no, it's not redundant. Why? There is a nafkamina to making it basar b'chalav midrabanan. What's the nafkamina if it's treifa anyway to making a basar b'chalav midrabanan? So the lumbus is this. Let's take an example. Let us say that I cook pork in a pot of milk. The pork is asr, even because of pork. And the milk is asr because of pork. Why? Because the milk now has the taste of pork. So what difference does it make if you say it's basar b'chalav midrabanan? The pork is already asr and the milk is already asr. Right, we'll see a machlokas whether tam ke ikar, whether milk that is the tam of pork is also deraisa grab on it. But either way, it's asr, and we paskin it's also deraisa for. So says the Bach, this is the difference. The difference is that if it was just the asr of pork, then the milk would be asr because of the pork taste inside it. But it wouldn't be inherently asr. It would only be asr because the taste that then absorbed. If you make a basar b'chalav midrabanan, you make the milk inherently asr. And so too, let's take the other example. Let's say you cook beef and pig milk. Even without an isur basar b'chalav, the beef is asr because it has pig milk inside. But it's not inherently asr. It's only asr because of what's inside it. It's called asr machmas bliya. If there goes a basar b'chalav drabanan, that makes it intrinsically asr, not just asr because of what's inside it. What's an afkamina? And who cares? He mentions two halachas that we care, which each of these is like a whole siman in shulchan aruch, and we're going to deal with. That's what I said. Everything over quotes and assumes you know everything else. Says nafkamina is, what are the nafkaminas? Aleph. I hope I'm going in the right order. I think I am. Aleph is what's called Hanan. Chaticha nases nevela, what's called Hanan. And Bet is called Chaticha hareuya lehestabeg. We don't have to get these concepts down now. I'll just explain them to you in very introductory fashion. What does Hanan means? It means, let's take this example. Let's say I cook meat in pig milk. And that meat is 12 fluid ounces. And I cook it in 3 fluid ounces of pig milk. Now it's treif, because it has pig milk inside. Now, accidentally, I drop that milk into a chulent, into a soup that's 200 fluid ounces. Is it batel b'shishim or not? Well, if you look at the pig milk inside it, there's only less than 3 ounces of pig milk inside it. So 200 is more than 60 times the pig milk inside it, so it should be batel and mutter. But if you say now the beef turns intrinsically usser, then it's 12 ounces of isser. 12 times 60 is 720, a lot more than 200, so it's not batel. That's what it means, chatikha nas devela. The piece turns into treif. Basar b'chalav, the piece turns treif. Why? Because you mix meat, you mix milk. Think of it this way. You mix kosher and treif. You mix lard and vegetables. What's also the lard? Why are the vegetables also? Because they have lard in them. But the vegetables themselves, at least according to Rabbeinu Fayin the Mechaber, the vegetables themselves are not a piece of treif. They just have treif inside. But if you mix meat and milk, what's asr? The meat and milk both turn asr. That's the chiddush of basar b'chalav. You mix meat, you mix milk, they turn into an isr. Now it's intrinsically asr. That's called nasas nevela. Nevela just means treif. Right? So the nafkamina is the whole thing turns treif. And who cares if the whole thing turns treif? If it then falls into a soup, you need 60 times the whole thing to be mevatel it. And likewise, chatikha rilaskabi. This is talking about a different issue. Not about mixing into a soup, but about if you have a pile of things and one of them is asr. The rule is, when you mix things, you cook them and blend the taste together, the rule is bitul b'shisha. When, we'll get to this, this is a whole simon, quite a long one. When you don't mix things and blend them together and cook them together, you just have a pile of things and you don't know which is treif, which is kosher. It's called terumos yavish b'yavish, dry separate pieces. They didn't mix together, you just don't know which is which. Then there's a different rule. It, one and two is batel, unless it's davar chashuv, then it's not batel. Davar chashuv, chatikha rilaskabit, a piece of meat big enough to honor someone by serving them as a portion is not batel. Again, if you don't get any of this, it's okay. You'll get you just remember the basic idea of the Bach. What's the rule? The rule is this. If I have one piece of nevela meat, one nevela steak gets mixed with 30 kosher steaks or 100 kosher steaks, they're all treif. It's not batel because it's an important thing. If I have one kosher steak that got lard inside it, mixed with 100 kosher steaks, then it's batel. They're all mutter. Because the kosher steak isn't really, this treif steak isn't treif, just the lard inside is treif. And the lard inside is not significant, it's not important. So he says that's an afkamina. If they wouldn't be gozer basar b'chalav drabanan, then if I cooked a steak with pig milk, there would only be a little treif pig milk inside it. That's not important. So it would be batel to the other steaks. But now there goes a brassel called Rabbanan. Now the state becomes intrinsically treif. If it becomes intrinsically treif, then if it gets mixed with 100 other snakes, it's not bottle. The principle of both of these is that the meat and milk both become intrinsically treif if they're brassel called Rabbanan. If they would not be brassel called Rabbanan, then it would only be treif because of this, but the pork or pig milk that's stuck inside it. How do we defend the Beis Yosef? There are two ways to defend the Beis Yosef, the Taz and the Shach. And the Nosekele the Nekudas HaKesef, which is the Taz, Shach, HaShach, and the Taz, points out that there are many cases where we're used to think very conceptually. The Taz didn't think conceptually. That wasn't his Derech HaLimud. The Taz didn't analyze things conceptually. And therefore, a few places where the Shach says the Taz makes no sense because conceptually what he says is nonsense. Okay, the Taz must have had a different Derech HaLimud. But this is one of the cases. Maybe we're not ready to appreciate why yet. How do you defend the Beis Yosef? There are two ways. Says the Taz. Says nope. Even if it was Basar B'chalav Midrabanan, since one half is already treif, it wouldn't all turn intrinsically treif. Okay, don't ask me to explain the conceptual base of this task, because the Nekudas HaKesef have already paskin that we don't understand what he meant conceptually. His Derech HaLimud was. He took the words of his predecessor and tried to apply them without necessarily analyzing conceptually. But that's why Rav Schechter doesn't learn the Taz, because he can't stand learning anyone who doesn't learn conceptually. So he never learns Taz when he learns something else. Rav Schechter said the Rav didn't learn Taz. It could very well be. You never know. Like, reports to the Rav, everyone has their own reports to the Rav. But it's not crazy, because the Rav also learned conceptually. Okay, Lamaisa, that's funny. All the other Rav learned the Taz. They never paskin like him, but they learned him. So this is the machlokas. Most of the Achronim learn the Taz and don't paskin like him. And Rav Schechter quotes in the Rav that he shouldn't even learn the Taz, because he didn't learn conceptually. He said, no, says the Taz. He says that Bach is wrong. Even if there are goals or bus will hold me Rabbanan, it still wouldn't turn intrinsically usher. Because half of it's already trained. So how can the other half turn intrinsically usher? I don't understand what he's trying to say. And therefore, if you're done with it, there's no nafkamina. Okay, the Shach, however, says something much more logical. Says the Shach, he says something pashut. Again, everyone says they don't understand what the Taz meant. But says the Shach says, true, but it's not worth making a special Zera just for these small nafkaminas. Shach says, you're right. There would be a nafkamina making the Basar B'chalav D'Rabbanan. It would have a nafkamina if Rabbanan decided to be Gozer Basar B'chalav D'Rabbanan on pork. But those nafkaminas are very slight. They're really weird nafkaminas. Only like rare, uncommon cases. Why would Rabbanan bother to make a whole Zera just because it's going to have two weird nafkaminas? The truth is, Rabbi Akiva suggests maybe he finds even weirder nafkaminas. So maybe three or four super weird, uncommon nafkaminas. Says the Shach, the Rabbanan didn't get together and make Zeros so they could have uncommon nafkaminas once every 20 years. They only make Zeros on things that actually make a difference in people's lives. And even with all the Bach, you're not going to live long enough to ever have enough Gamina from this Zera Rabbanan. Right? It's going to take 100 years for everyone to, 121 years. I don't want to press anymore. 121 years to have enough Gamina from this. And therefore, it's not. Why are they already gotten together made Zera Basar called Rabbanan on pigs? If the nafkamina is only these weird nafkaminas, it's not nafkamina where they can eat it. You can't eat it anyway. It's not nafkamina where you can cook it. You can cook it anyway. It's not nafkamina where you can be nene. You can be nene anyway. It's a nafkamina for these weird nafkaminas of the Bach. They don't make zeros so they can have uncommon nafkaminas that'll happen once every 300 years. Okay, Lemaisa, we paskin like the Shach and the Taz and the Beis Yosef that there's no iser bas kol drabonan on pork with cow milk or beef with pork with pig milk. But again, it doesn't really matter that much how we paskin because it's not going to come up in 100 years anyway. Okay, but that is a very interesting discussion.
Also, the shach meant that you can find out for me that it's already usher, so they don't want to make the air something that's already usher.
I think that's saying the same thing I said in different words. If something's already usher, why make it exera? Oh, it'll have enough to me, it'll be more usher in some weird case. Okay, it's not worth making exera for that. So I think you're saying the same thing. I hope. You're definitely saying what I meant. Hopefully you're saying what I said in different words. Okay. Let us continue then. Ubasar continuing. Basar chay of the oath, afila b'chol of tahora, mutter b'vishal u'bahana'a, v'av b'achila eno usher elam yirabanan. Okay, one second. We need my shas here. Where's our shas? What? It is split up. Okay. How about chaya for oaf? Right? Chaya, wild animals. We don't eat a ton of different wild animals, but some people have venison, right? Whatever the ayil, tzvi, and yachmur, and akko, and dishon, and to'o, and zomer are. And chicken comes up a lot, obviously. Oof. What about chayav oof? Are chayav oof asur midoraisa or are chayav oof asur midorabanan? There are two opinions in the Mishnah in Daf Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. Mishnah Daf Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. Here we have chaya, and here we have oof. And l'chora, the same rules apply, everyone assumes, to the meat of a chaya as to the milk of a chaya. Right? Meaning, whatever the rule of deer meat and chicken milk, the same exact rules apply to beef and deer milk. What if you cook beef in the milk of an oaf? What would the din be? I see no one here has a sense of humor. There is no such thing as the milk of an oaf. Only mammals have milk. Birds don't have milk. If you cook beef in the milk of an oaf, I will be very impressed. Says the Mishnah has two opinions. The first opinion is Rabbi Akiva. Chayi v'oaf eina min haTorah. Says Rabbi Akiva, eina min haTorah, but is asur midrabanan. That's Rabbi Akiva. Then comes the infamous shita of Rabbi Yossi Haglili. He says, Chaya is Aser Midoraisa, and Oaf is Mutter. You've probably encountered someplace in Shas where it talks about how, in the city of Rabbi Eliezer, they used to be Mechal Shabbos to prepare for Bris Mila, and in the city of Rabbi Yossi Haglili, they used to eat chicken cooked in milk. Okay, those are the two opinions of the Mishnah. How do we paskin? Said the Mechaber, I'll read it again. Basar chayin oaf, even in chol of tahora, is mutter and bishul hana, and even achila is only nisr drabanan. And say the explain the mefarshim so too for chol of a chayin. So the machaber paskins like Rabbi Akiva. I don't know of any rishonim pask like Rabbi Yosef Glili. Sorry, don't get your hopes up. Everyone I've ever heard of paskins like. This is the Mechaber, and this is based on most Rishonim.
I heard Rav Sharon Shalom say that in Ethiopia, they used to eat oaf and challah together.
Okay, that's possible, but that doesn't count as a Rishon. But the Karaites also ate oaf and challah together. But that also doesn't count as a Rishon. However, here's what's funny. Tosos in two places says, there's only two opinions in that Mishnah. But Tosos in two places says, and why he says this, it's not crazy. I mean, Tosos right here is one of the two places. He says, Hu adin basar of lirabbanan de asar min haTorah, de davka riyakivu de machayv of min haTorah. There's no rabbanan in our Mishnah, but Tosos says there is a rabbanan, according to Tosos. It never says anywhere in Shas there's a third opinion called rabbanan. However, there are a few sugyas which make it sound like those sugyas think that it's asur d'oraisa, even chicken. Although they don't say explicitly. And therefore, says Tosos, yes, Rabbi Akiva, there must also be a rabbanan. What do their rabbanan hold? Chaya is mi midaraisa, and oaf is also midaraisa. That is a game changer. Chicken and milk is now also daraisa, according to the Rabbanan. And Tosa's main proof, as he points out, is the Mishnah at the beginning of Parakol Basar, of the 8th Parakol Basar, which deals with Basar B'chalav. The Mishnah says, all Basar is usher to put on the table with cheese, meaning you can't like eat meat and leave cheese on the table and say, I'll only eat the meat, because the obvious is here, you might eat them together. Even, it's very clear, and the Gemara makes very even chicken. So why would that Mishnah say, it's usher for chicken and cheese on the table at the same time, so you might eat them together? So says Tosa, it must be because if you ate them together, it'd be daraisa. So it's Xerah, I'll do Mr. Daraisa. Oh, no one holds chicken and milk as daraisa. It must be someone does hold chicken and milk as daraisa. Who? The Rabbanan. Mishnah doesn't go like a Rabbi
Kiva. Because it must be.
Okay. If you look here, it says, Ha'of asu daraisa, command de loka Rabbi Akiva, etc., 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 etc. One second. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi he, etc., etc., etc. And Rashi says, kula Rabbi Akiva he. So you're right, I apologize. It's Vahachi Kamar, etc., etc. Meaning, if I were read the Gemara, you're right, it was unfair to Tosas. If I were read the Gemara, I would have said, first comes Rabbi Yosef, then comes Rashi. Rashi's Basra, it's the last person spoken in the Gemara, and it's only Rabbi Akiva, and then there is no Rabbana. You're right, Tosas didn't make up the Rabbana. The Gemara is Machlokes Amoraim. One Amora said there's a Rabbana. And Rabashi says, man, our mission is just Rabbi Akiva. Now the question is, Rabashi says our mission is only Rabbi Akiva, but does he admit there's a Rabbana, or does he not admit there's a Rabbana? And if there is a possibility or not. So, the Rabbanan. According to at least some, meaning a lot of Rishonim say the Kuleyama is no Isser. And Rabbi Yosef thought there's a Rabbanan, but we did that from Maskan and Sukkah. Right? The Rabbanan. According to at least some Amoraim, right? The question is this. If we the Maskana, there's Rabbanan, there's a Rabbanan, do I miss? I didn't mean to say, I should have said. Where Ashi says it's all Rabbi Akiva, maybe there is no Rabbanan. Or maybe there is. So Tosos thinks there is. That's the finish of Tosos. Either Ashi says there is no Rabbanan in the first Mishnah, there's still Rabbanan, even though they're not in the first Mishnah. Okay, so does anyone pass? Tosos doesn't say how we paskin. Although once he calls it the Rabbanan, that already makes you worry that we might pass. The way who paskins like that, Rabbanan? The Marshal of the Bachchum's edition also. Could be, I don't remember. Here he quotes, Das Machaber Seder, O Marshal Bahabach, the different Marai, the Marai, the author of Chum's edition, that goes Sharidura, correct? Koshal Hakil Kineget Tosos. So this is the Marai, and the Marshal and the Bach. Okay, that's some Choshev Achronim. Arai is like a very end of the Rishonim. He was the Rebbe of this Isser Hetar Arach, so he's a late Rishon. And he says it's hard to be Mekel against Tosos. And the Marshal and the Bach paskins that way. So, what do we say? Do we paskin like the Machaber, or do we paskin like the Marshal and the, or do we paskin like the Marshal and the Bach? Says the Shach. We paskin like the Machaber, like Rabbi Akiva, and Halacha Lemaisa, the later Achronim, assume like the Shach and the Machaber, and they're not kosher to the Marshal and the Bach. Halacha Lemaisa, we're not kosher to the Marshal and the Bach. We assume chicken is only Rabbanan, which has many Nafkamina. Besides the Nafkamina that it is Mutter and Bishul and Mutter and Hana'a, which is a big Nafkamina, there's also lots of other stuff. Like I've gotten Shailas where it's come down to, again, if you have to be careful applying the rule of Suffolk Derice, Lechumra, and Suffolk Derabon, Lechula in your day of Shilas, because it's all, it's sometimes very complicated, but everyone, I've gotten a Shila where it Mamish came down to Suffolk, a pure Suffolk without any factors that make it not the regular kind of Suffolk, and you went through the Shach, Polish Suffolk, and you saw it was a real classic Suffolk that just depended on the rice Derabonan, and it was a Shila of chicken and milk, so I popped in Mutter, Suffolk Derabon, Lechula. That's because we're not kosher to the Marshal and the Bach. Agav, I'll give you some life advice. Why did I get such a shayla? And it's not the old, I've gotten the shayla of more than one person. The old, I thought I was using the Pariv chicken soup mix, and I was really using the Fleishig chicken soup mix. In my opinion, if you want life advice, you want to live happily with Shalom Bayis till 120, no family should ever buy Pariv chicken soup mix and Fleishig chicken soup mix. You want to be the kind of family that only uses the Fleishig chicken soup mix your whole life? Wonderful. You want to be the kind of family that only uses Pariv chicken soup mix your whole life? Wonderful. You pick your derech in life, you won't get confused. Once you buy, in the same decade, Pariv chicken soup mix and Fleishig chicken soup mix, you're asking for problems, and don't say you weren't warned when you end up eating treif and ruining your shalom bayis. Okay, I'll try to give advice every day also. That the person thought she was putting the Pariv chicken soup mix into the milchi pots and was really putting the Fleishig chicken soup mix, because she got confused between the two containers, which look exactly the same.
Right.
What? It was rumored about she wanted to know if her pots were kosher, etc. So it turns out there was a lot of steakos involved, bittel, etc., etc. And in the end, we were mako because it was only soft to drop on it. Okay, I don't remember all the details. Maybe there were very specific details involved. This was many, many years ago. Okay, anyway, this is many, many years ago before you guys learned your idea. Okay, continuing. I will dog in the Chagavim, aim by an Eser Afilu Midrabanan. Dog in the Chagavim are no problem whatsoever. Right? Meaning, even though technically they're living beings, locusts and fish you're allowed to mix with milk. We know we do that all the time, right? We eat lox with cream cheese. And I don't know if we ever cook fish with milk, but we would if we wanted to. I'm sure there must be some recipe where we cook fish with milk, even though I can't.
Very shavuist there.
What?
Very shavuist.
Fish lasagna? That sounds a little weird to me. I'm not sure.
There are cream-based...
Tuna casserole! Tuna casserole! There it is, right there. Tuna casserole. I do that all the time myself. You take pasta, you put a little tuna fish, put a little cheese, put a little pasta sauce if you want, put it in the microwave, heat it up. Maybe your microwave is the rice, and maybe it's not. We'll get to it. Okay. That's it says right here. No Isra Field Rabban. However, what's the problem? The problem is, what does the Mechaber say? The Mechaber says, there's no Isra, but it's still Sakana. Meaning it's not usher, but it's usher. It's not usher because of kashrus, it's usher because of sakana. Because it's sakana to eat fish with milk. Seth Mechaber. And what does the Mechaber say? Like I wrote in Or Chaim Kufayim Gimel. Or Chaim Kufayim Gimel is about like eating. Because Or Chaim goes through your day. You get up in the morning, you daven, etc. At a certain point, you like have food, all the brachos, etc. And taka in the middle there, it has the halachos of waiting between meat and milk. Not just waiting, but clearing the table, etc., between meat and milk. And this says the Mechaber, says the Beis Yosef, and it's sakana to eat dag with chalav. So here we are, dag with chalav. Beis Yosef in Yoredeya says sakana. What's weird? What's weird is that the Mechaber in Yoredeya, same person, right? The Mechaber in Yoredeya doesn't say sakana. The Mechaber in Yoredeya says mutter. So what does everyone say? He meant mutter al kashrus even though it's sakana. It's a little weird. The Mechaber was not writing a theoretical book of interesting insights. He was writing a law code. He's writing a halachic handbook. Something's dangerous, you might die. And he tells you it's mutter and doesn't tell you might die? Nowadays you could sue him for a lot of money. And even in those days, up in Shemayim, you could sue him for a lot of money. Mapadom, if you're writing a halacha sefer for every Jew, you tell him something is mutter, but he might die. And you neglect to point out that he might die. Oh, if you look at my other book, you'll see he might die. But if you look at my halacha book, it just says it's mutter. What do you mean? That's careless disregard for human life. That's callousness. How could it be that he thought you might die and yet said it was mutter and didn't bother to warn you that he might die? It's a little mean. Strange. What's even more strange is that the Beis Yosef in Orachayim Sakana Kinti Isa the Orachayim. But what does it say in Orachayim? It doesn't say anything about Sakana of fish and milk. Right? Only says that da fish and meat is Sakana. Only says that fish and meat is Sakana. It's a little strange. Over there, he only says fish and meat is Sakana. Okay, some people take them more seriously, some people less seriously, but that's no Chiddush, that's a Mefurish Gemara, and that's a Mefurish Gemara in Pesach. That fish and meat is Sakana. And that's found in a lot, and that's also found in Yoreday and other places. That's no big deal. So it's a little weird. He only said fish and meat is Sakana in Yoreday. All of a sudden here he says fish and milk is Sakana, like I said in Yoreday, and then neglects it to bring it down anywhere in the Shulchan Aruch. Right? So it's very strange. So what are the two possibilities? What does the Rambam say? Someone can help me with Bikias here. This is the only place I know where the Rambam made a joke in the Darkei Moshe. I don't know if it's the only place. Like, I don't know if he had a sense of humor or not. I mean, we see he did. I don't know how often he used it. The Rambam makes a joke here. What does the Rambam say? The Rambam says, V'lachein nire, shenis arev l'rav beis Yosef basa rechalav. Ah, nis arev lo basa rechalav. That's the joke. Mixed basar with chalav, meaning he mixed up basar and chalav. He wrote the wrong word. He meant to write basar, and instead he wrote chalav. It's a toast, so fair. So what are the two ways to deal with it? So say the Ashkenazim. Say the Ashkenazim. It's a toast, so fair. Not a toast over a scribe, it's a toast. He meant to write Bosar. Dag and Bosar. Then it makes sense. Dag and Bosar is Sakana, like I wrote in Orchayim. And he doesn't say Dag and Bosar is Sakana here, because he's not really discussing Dag and Bosar here. But if you look later on in your day, Simon Kof Yud Zion, he says Dag and Bosar is Sakana. Okay, that's obviously the right shot. Obviously, just made a mistake. This Arif Lola, Beis Yosef, Basar B'chalav. Right, the only joke I know in the Darkei Moshe, but try to find more for you. However, what do the Sfardim say? Sfardim say, nope. He had some makor that Dag B'chalav is Sakana. Oh, he said his makor is Orchayim, and that's not what said Orchayim. No, he meant that this is parallel to what I wrote in Orchayim. Okay, so the Dochik, they say he must have had some makor that nobody else heard of but him, that fish and milk is Sakana. And when he said, like I wrote in Orchayim, he just meant it's parallel, but not the same. And why did he write in the Shulchan Aruch? Because he was not talking about that here. So why didn't he write it later on? The whole thing about Sakana? I don't know. Tzarech Iyun. Tzarech Iyun. Why it's omitted from the entire Shulchan Aruch. Mainly you don't write it here. At least write it someplace else. Okay. Obviously, the Sephardic shot is very dachuk. The stomach, he just wrote the wrong word. He's only human. Now, we know the Machaber, Yosef Kaira, was a very unique human, right? He was on a different mystical plane than the rest of us, but he's still only human. So he wrote the wrong word. He meant to write Basar. And he wrote Chalav. That's obviously Pshat. So that's why we Ashkenazim say, Beis Yosef made a mistake. He wrote the wrong word. We don't eat fish and meat, but it's perfectly fine to have bagels with cream cheese and lox. Many Sfaradim, however, are Machver. They say, what do you mean? If the Beis Yosef had some source that was Sakana, and the too many books in Sparta got boiled and found some doctor who said it was Sakana according to the science of whatever century. I don't know. Lemaisa, not all Sparta are Machmir on this, but most Sparta are Machmir. Rav Avadya Yosef Paskins to be Machmir. In America, we all came from America. In America, all the Syrians are super duper Machmir. You go, you flatbush, and you tell the Syrians, would you like to come to my house Sunday morning? I'll serve you bagels with cream cheese and lox. They'll look at you like you just said you'll serve them a pig. Again, there's different kinds of Sfardim in different countries. But most Sfardim, including Syrians, are very machmir about this. All Ashkenazim are makel about this. If you go to restaurants in Israel, to milchik restaurants in Israel, you know, in Israel, they're half the people are Sfardim, not like in America, where, you know, most Jews are Ashkenazim. So if you go to milchik restaurants in Israel and you look at the menu, look for this in the menu, it will say often, it will have like an asterisk at certain things on the menu, and the bottom will say, l'nohagim heter. What does that mean? The asterisk is things with fish and milk. And the asterisk means for those who are minhag is that it's mutter, meaning if you're Sfardi and your minhag is that it's usher, don't eat this. We told you not to order this. Don't complain. Right? So all menus in Israel will have a little note that says, oh, these are for those who are knowing heter and dag v'chalav. But Sfardim, ana yom hazeh, most Sfardim are machmir, including our Abadi, who become sort of halacha most we've seen for Sfardim. And the Mukar is not anywhere in the Shulchan Aruch, but Beis Yosef here. Okay. Last, let's try to just the end of this Se'if. Says the Ramah at the end of the Se'if, which is about Maris Ayin. Now, we also talk about Maris Ayin in the next Se'if, but we'll do one Se'if at a time. V'nagu lasos cholav mishkeidim ha-menichin ba, I'm going to get a chance, bus or oath. The minhag is that we make almond milk, right? Nowadays, I think they called soy milk. No, they also have almond milk, right? Someone here must have almond milk.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a popular thing nowadays. I'm very old-fashioned. But nowadays, very big almond milk. The minhag in their days was they would have almond milk and cooked chicken in the almond milk. Oh, the ain't a rack me drug, right? Some other makoros said they do this for Purim, for like Simchas Purim, for like a Purim, a hololus for Purim. Ha ha, look, we're eating meat and milk. So they would make chicken, cooked chicken and coffee rich, as it were. Whole vein rack drabbanan, and that's because chicken is only drabbanan anyway. I mean, even in real milk is drabbanan. Avol baser behema, but if you were cooking beef and almond milk, that would be usher, because of maris ayin, because it looks like meat and milk. Yeshlanich, it's a cholav shkedim. The only way, if you want to cook beef in almond milk, you have to put almonds next to it to avoid maris ayin. Mishur maris ayin. Moshe is barley el, simen samchvav le'inyan tam. Okay, what's the point? The point is there's an isser of maris ayin. What do we see earlier? The Gemara says fish blood is mutter. Right? It's in the force in the Chumash. If you read Chumash, you'll see the Torah says also to have any blood of animals or birds. Clearly implying that fish blood is mutter. However, if I drink a cup of fish blood, that's why you don't have to salt fish to remove the blood. But if I drink a cup of fish blood, it's maris ayin that it looks like animal blood. So says the Shulchan Aruch, you can drink based on the Gemara. You can drink a cup of fish blood only if there's little scales of the fish in it. Only if there's pieces of fish there. So what do we see from here? That it's usher to do anything that's maris ayin, but it's mutter. It's usher to do maris ayin, but it's mutter if you put something there that shows what it is so people won't make a mistake. Meaning we're not worried, someone will not even bother to look at what you're doing and think it's usher. No, if they look, they'll see the shkedim. Where nowadays you would say, if you want to cook a meat lasagna with almond milk, you know, or with whatever it is, almond cheese, whatever it is, if you want to cook a meat lasagna with a pair of cheese, then you have to put the package from the cheese next to it so that it won't be maris ayin. Is there part of, there must be part of cheese. You have to put the package from the cheese next to it, so it won't break. What do you do if you're vegan? So it won't be maris ayin. Okay. Now, that's not such a chiddush that Ramah. He's just taking something we have by Dam Dogim and applying it. You got the board, right, Isaac? However, what's the chiddush? That's not the chiddush part of the Ramah. The chiddush is, what if something right? Something that maris ayin of an iser d'oraisa. What's the example? Basar behema mevushal. Obviously, if it's not cooked, then it doesn't look like an iser d'oraisa, right? If it's just like, you know, if it's just you make a salad out of them, that doesn't look like an iser d'oraisa. It has to be cooked together. Mevushal becholav shkedim. It's very cool. When I started teaching Yerodea, there wasn't actually any cholav shkedim in the supermarket. It was just something 100 years ago. Now you can go buy it in any Rabbi Levi. Okay, that is usher. Unless you put the package there. However, maris ayin of an Isser Drabbanan, which was the Ramaz case. Basar Oath, Mevushal, Becholav Shkeidim, is mutter. Why? Because even if someone thinks it's real milk, it'll only look like an Isser Drabbanan. And we're not gozer for Maris Ayin if it only looks like an Isser Drabbanan. That's the Ramah. It seems very pashut, except for the fact that everyone attacks the Ramah. Everyone attacks the Ramah. The Marshal said, well, sorry, here, the Shach quotes that the Achronim say, even in Isser Drabbanan, forget the Marshal thought, chicken was Doraisa. So he said, how can you be Mako? And not only that, he said, and even if chicken's not Doraisa, you have to be, and Marshal, well, he hated chicken and milk for some reason. He thought it was Doraisa, remember? And he says, and even if it's not, you have to be very careful that people don't come to listen to the Karaites and start eating it. So you always have to be extra macho with chicken and milk. Okay, we don't really follow him. It says the Shach, it's not true. All the Achronim has the same kasha. They say that's not the rule of Shas. Like, for example, you're not allowed to take your cow out with a bell on Shabbos. Why? Why are you not allowed to take your cow with a bell on Shabbos? It looks like you're going to the shuk to sell it. Because that's what they do in those days. They put a bell when they want to sell it. So it looks like Nekach HaMekor on Shabbos, but selling on Shabbos only has a drabana. Right? So, for example, and it's not the only example. There are many examples. But, you know, what's his example? V'lo b'zug, right? Hotsa'as behema. Well, I'll use our word, b'pa'amon, which is nere k'mochra b'shuk. It looks like you're going to sell her, is usher. So, here we have a kasha on the Ramah. How can the Ramah say there's no problem with Maris Ayman only looks like an Isser Drabbanan? It's not true. You can find another example also. Even if something looks like an Isser Drabbanan, you shouldn't do it. You shouldn't do anything that looks like an Isser. So how do you defend the Ramah? That's a classic kasha. How do you defend the Ramah? Said the Shach in the end. Said the Shach. Give me 1 second. So, what about this case? The Ramah and the Taz, at least theoretically, the Dina, I'll be strict in, says Mutter. However, the Shach disagrees with the Ramah. The Shach says that's ridiculous. It's also do Maris Ayin, even an Isser Drabbanan. And the Marshal also says this, and the because the Marshal also agrees in that the Marshal is always Machmer Chicken and Milk. The Taz Lemaisa says, Lemaisa, it's hard to be so much on this Ramah. And the later Achronim all agree with this, such as the Chachmas Adam and the Prima Gadim all say Aser. Halacha Lemaisa, we say it's Aser. We disagree with this Ramah. We don't rely on this Ramah. Why don't we rely on this Ramah? Because it doesn't make sense. It's not true. You can't just do something as Maris Ayin and Isser Drabbanan. That's not the normal rule of Shas. So we pass it against the Rabbah. However, the Ramah wasn't stupid. The Ramah also knew how to learn. What was the Ramah thinking? How do you we don't pass like the Ramah, but how do you defend the Ramah? There are two ways I found in the Achronim to defend the Ramah. One is the Pri Chadash. Says the Pri Chadash, he says, yes, in Shas we find we're choshesh even for Maris Ayin and Isser Drabbanan. But that's on a case-by-case basis. We're not always choshesh for Maris Ayin and Isser Drabbanan, only when Chazal decided to be gozer. Meaning, the Maris Ayin of an Isser Drabbanan, rak b'mikrim, sherabu chazal shenachon ligzor. He's saying no. Some it's Maris Ayin and Isser Doraisa. We always abstain from. We never want to do something that looks like an Issur D'oraisa. How about something that looks like an Issur D'rabbanan? Well, it's not so bad because it only looks like an Issur D'rabbanan, but it's a little bad, so it looks like an Issur. So then, when Chazal decided to make Gzeira, they decide it. And when they didn't, they didn't. Since Chazal never talked about this case, therefore there's no Gzeira. There's no automatic Issur Marasai and D'rabbanan. Only when Chazal decided, and here they didn't decide. The other answer is found in the Nachlas Tzvi. On the side here, there's someone called the Nachlas Tzvi. The Nachlas Tzvi is actually the Piskei Tshuva, the same author as the Piskei Tshuva. Just the Piskei Tshuva is where he quotes everyone else, all the Achronim, whether it's Shelos or Tshuvas mostly, or other Svarim. And the Nachlas Tzvi is when he has a Ha'or of his own, a Chiddush of his own, he wants to say, he doesn't put that into the Piskei Tshuva, because the Piskei Tshuva is for collecting the Gedolim who came before him. Rather, he wrote a separate book called, Nachlas Tzvi, where he puts his own Chiddushim, and it's only once every couple pages. It's not something that you have, all the time. But says the Nachlas Tzvi here, he says, based on a Tosos and a Rush. It's a Tosos, but all the Poskim quote a Rush, because the Rush is more of a Posek. And the Mishnah Berurah quotes this in Hilchos Shabbos, but I don't remember which siman. He says, the Gemara says that anything that's usher, because the Maris Ayin is usher even, who wants to finish this quote? B'chad b'chadar, even in private. Something that's an Isser Maris Ayin is usher even in private. There's no Maris Ayin in private? Okay, but an end up that someone will see. There's a kahol Tosnes Akasha. There are many different answers to that Kasha, but it doesn't matter for now. Says Tosnes in the Rush, there's a difference. Maris Ayin of an Isser D'oraisa is Aser Afilu Echadrei Chadarim, meaning the most innermost chamber, a room inside a room. If something looks like an Isser D'oraisa, it's Aser even Echadrei Chadarim. An example would be, if my shirt fell in a puddle and got soaking wet, and I hang it up to dry on a clothesline, it's Maris Ayin of a D'oraisa that it looks like I did laundry on Shabbos. Looks like I washed it on Shabbos. So even if I lock my house and go to the bathroom and lock the bathroom door, I still can't hang my shirts dry. Because that's Maris Ayin of D'oraisa. It's also even in private. However, says the Rosh, Maris Ayin of an Isser D'rabbanan is also b'farhesya, but mutter b'tzina. If it's only Maris Ayin of D'rabbanan, then you're not allowed to do it in public. But we're not so machri, you can do it in private. And what does he say? He says that, what's his okimta? Is that the Rama is only talking about Bitsina. People, when people made, again, we have to know the Minhagim in those days, meaning it's not obvious to us, but maybe you lived in those days, it would be obvious. When do people and how do people make this weird thing of Amigo chicken? Well, they only make it at home for their family. They don't make it in public places. They don't make it in parties. They don't make it in restaurants. Therefore, if the Rama was only Bitsina, now all of a sudden it makes sense. And this we paskin like. If the Rama only meant Bitsina, then he's right. Because Bitsina, we hold like the Rosh, the Mishnah Berurah paskins that way. In Hilchos Shabbos, that there's no Isser Maris Ayin Bitsina for Drabonas. And that's the Halacha L'maisa. Halacha L'maisa, bottom line, what does this mean? If I want to make meat lasagna with pyre of cheese, which is Maris Ayin of a D'oraisa, then even in private with my own family, with just my family at home, I can't do it unless I put the box of the cheese next to it. However, if I want to make chicken lasagna with pyre of cheese, which even if it looked bad, would only look like an Issur D'rabbanan, then as long as I'm at home with my family, and I'm not in a big public place at a wedding or some public barbecue in the park, etc., then it's no problem. We're not worried about Maris Ayin. That is the bottom line halacha le. I'll just end with, we'll take 2 minutes, end with two important halacha maisa points about Maris Ayin. By the way, this comes up all the time nowadays. In the Ramaz days, it was a rare thing, but nowadays, all the time we have fake meat and fake milk. Right, we have almond milk and soy milk and coffee rich and it's part of ice cream, etc., etc. And we have par of hot dogs and lots of other things like that, etc. Even par of cheese, even though I've never eaten par of cheese. It's not as common as these other things, right? But it's a thing. So nowadays we have a lot of Mars Einsteinless. Every restaurant serves you cheeseburgers, etc. There's a lot of Mars Einsteinless. So one kula for sure that says the, if you look at the Knesset HaGdolah, here the Knesset HaGdolah is a pirush on the Torah, not in the book of the Torah, a separate book. He says, there's no problem Mars Ayin to have a fleshig meal and have coffee rich with your dessert or have part of ice cream for dessert. Why is there no problem Mars Ayin? Since you're not doing it at the same time, it doesn't really look bad. Right? Because, like, no one's going to see the meat and milk together. They have to see the meat and then look half hour later when you serve dessert and see the milk. And we're not worried that, you know, someone's spying on you that much. And, you know, anyone who's keeping track of you for hours will probably understand what's going on. So he says, if it's not together, there's no Mar Sayan. Okay, that's one kula. What are the kulos for Mar Sayan? One is the Nachlas Tzvi. Right? Of Bitzino. Right? Okay. Two is the Knesset HaGdola. Ze'achar ze'ah. If you have what looks like meat and then milk, or meat and then what looks like milk. If they're not together, it's not marzayin. It's not like one thing that looks bad. What's a big machlokas is, what about a davar hamatzoi? What about something common? For example, the Ramaz case was not common. Only on Purim would they do this. And you know why they would do this? Because it looked like meat and milk, like you're here. Like, but what if it's something that's normal, like carved ice cream? I know, you don't eat it together. Or coffee rich. You know, also you don't eat together. But what if it's something that's very, very common? If it's something that's very common, everyone knows that it's not Mara Zayin, because it's something very common. If it's something very common, what's the gender of common? If it's still cool because it looks like treif, then that's not this heter. But if it's not even cool because it looks like treif, because, like, you know, everyone knows that you do it all the time. What if it's very common? Does that take away the Mara Zayin? After all, some things nowadays are very common, right? Some people say even the cheeseburgers are very common. Come on, we have the par of meat and the par of cheese and everything. These things are very common nowadays. So what about common things? The Maharsham has a sefer called Das Torah, and he is Mekel. This is a machlokes. The Das Torah, which the parish of the Shulchan Aruch by the Maharsham, and the Abia Omer of Rav Avadya, same mutter. The Badei HaShulchan here says Aser, and we Paskin Mutter, which means that Maris Ayin is not as big a deal now as it once was. Since many of the power foods are very common nowadays, therefore anything that's not weird and that's not weird, we're Makel nowadays. We don't worry about Maris Ayin as much as the old days because power foods have become very common. That's why nowadays in a lot of restaurants they serve cheeseburgers. Oh, what about the Maris Ayin? Lamaisa, nowadays in the restaurants they serve cheeseburgers. The OU lets them serve cheeseburgers. The other organizations let them serve cheeseburgers. Why? Because A, they say it's very common. And even if it's not very common, it says somewhere on the menu that it's imitation cheese or imitation meat or whatever. And even though it's not so clear writing the menu is as good as putting the box there or putting the almonds there, it's not found in the classic post. It's not so caution that writing on the menu, you put it off. Right? Well, the menu's not next to the food. But they say we write it on the menu, and it's very common. And they're makel, halacha l'maisa. Nowadays, there's restaurants that serve cheeseburgers. All the milky restaurants serve cheeseburgers nowadays, like made out of, mushrooms are delicious, other things like that. L'maisa, you can eat in those restaurants, all whatever the marzayin is, for hesya. And a cheeseburger looks like beef, so it's for sure. It looks like a marisa, beef and cheese. And it's for hesya. Maybe it only looks like a drabonin, because it looks like the beef and cheese were put together off the fire. Fine. So it only looks like a drabonin. Beef and cheese put together off the fire, you said, was drabonin. But still, it's in public, in a restaurant, so even if it looks like drabonin. So l'maisa, we're making nowadays, because it's so common that it doesn't even look bad anymore. No one even thinks twice. If it's so common that no one even does a double take, and no one says, ha ha, that's funny, it looks straight, then if it's so common, then how can that be Mars Ayin? And to add to what they write on the menu, with those two factors together, we are makel. And even if we're not sure how common it is, since they also write it on the menu, the minig is to be makel, and we can rely on that minig. Okay, I think that's all we have to say about the first three seifim of your day. So we'll have to continue, Mirtz Hashem. On Sunday, we will continue with Dalin, Hey, Bob, and we'll try to continue with Dalin, Hey, Bob, Zion, and Tess. Whether we'll get to Tess, I'm not sure. Maybe we'll try to get to Tess. It's always good to be ambitious. So we'll continue with further in the Siman, Amir Tashem, on Sunday. If anyone has any questions, please feel free to ask. If anyone wants to finally move on with their lives and not have to listen to me talk after 2 hours, please feel free to leave the meeting. Any questions? Isaac, you'll get the last word.
Mary?
Yes.
What's the halacha regarding cooking chicken with cheese in a klisheni?
Cooking chicken with cheese in a klisheni would only be mutter b'tzina, not b'far hesya. Because would only be mutter b'tzina, not b'far hesya, because it still looks like an issur d'rabbanan. I understand, since a chicken and a klisheni is d'rabbanan for two reasons, but that still looks like an issur d'rabbanan. If it looks like an issur d'rabbanan, that's still usher b'far hesya. That's not like the Behetev's case, if that's what you're thinking about. The Behetev is a different hetter. What he says is, what if you're cooking parav hot dogs in parav milk? Parav hot dogs in soy milk. That, he says, there's no maris ayin. Why? Because maris ayin means someone can make one mistake and think you're doing an isser. Here, they'd have to make two mistakes to think you were doing yesterday. They'd have to think it was real hot dogs and that it was real milk. The odd that they'll mistake what the hot dogs were and what the meat are, that's too low. So in a case like that, where it's mutter for two reasons, then there's no isser maris ayin. But in your case, where it's drabanan for two reasons, but it's only mutter for one reason, because it's almond milk, then there's still an isser maris ayin, bifar hesya.
Rabbi?
Yes.
And in regards to that bear hatev, isn't he choshesh though for, doesn't he say that for achila it would be aser? Just for bishul that you wouldn't need a hacker? And are we not, I guess, choshesh for that?
I don't remember.
And the four lines from the end, it says, Avala echo vadei sabalei l'ramad de aser.
One second. No, but that's no, that's a case where it's only one mistake, meaning eating. What's the case there? Like
he just baser of bachala. Meaning, that's talking about
that's
actually doing that.
Which is only, a single mistake. One second, hold on. The truth is that, okay, here I neglected to mention the Ber Hetev has a third defense of the Ramah. This is based on his third defense of the Ramah. What's his third defense of the Ramah? It's very dachuk, so I didn't put it on. The Be'er Hetev says the Ramah never meant to say that you could eat the chicken with almond milk without almonds there. He just meant you can cook it without the almonds there. Because even if it looks like cooking chicken in real milk, it's mutter to cook chicken in real milk. That's his, it's all based on his dachuk pshat in the Ramah. Okay, I didn't really like it so much. He has his dachuk pshat in the Ramah. The Ramah never meant you could eat the chicken with almond milk without a simen, without almonds. He just meant that you could cook it without almonds, but you have to put the almonds when you eat it. Why? Because even if it looks like cooking chicken and milk is mutter. So, and even if cooking chicken and milk might look like cooking meat and milk, which some achronim say we'll see in the next seif. Still, it would only look like cooking meat and milk if you thought the chicken was beef and you thought the almond was milk, which was what I quoted. If it's mutter for two reasons, then there's no marasayin. Oh, so that's what he meant. He meant that the Rama Taka thinks it's usher to eat chicken with almond milk. So you can put him here. Says the Berheitev, the Rama only permitted bishul, not achila. I think there's a dochim shot in the Rama. I haven't liked the Nachos Svi better. And okay, but the Maisa, the principle of the Berheitev is, if something's mutter for two reasons, and it would only be a sign if someone made two mistakes, then there's no iser of our sign. That's the principle that comes out of it. Okay, any other questions or follow-ups? Again, please feel free to be in touch during Seder with questions or not during Seder with questions, etc. You know, it'll be a lot. I'm looking forward to when we be in the Beis Medrash, and, you know, every time we get stuck someplace or have a question when you're reading something, we can schmooze and learn about it a little. But meanwhile, if you are stuck, please feel free to call, and I will see Benjamin and Isaac in the Beis Medrash, and I will see everyone else, Amir Tzashem, on Zoom on Sunday for the next year. And hopefully, please feel free to be in touch before then. Have a great afternoon or morning, wherever you are. Bini, Noah, Liam, Yoni, and Sasha.
Thank you, Ben Rush.